The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What's the deal with the hats with the backward city names, right, that Baker had on? Have you noticed that lately? I've never seen you with a hat on, and I would like to see that.
Last year, they sent NBC a bunch of the hats with the pattern on it. It's kind of a neat tie-dye almost pattern, and there was one with the Vikings logo in the middle, and Matt Casey gave me one of the hats. So it's sitting there on my shelf, so that's the hat I wear. Thank you, Matt.
You look good.
That's not the hat I wear. Can I get one of those? Hey, why'd you put the Vikings logo over my middle finger? If you're gonna use the photo, you gotta use the real photo. You gotta use the whole photo.
Whoa, hey. Middle fingers everywhere. All boom. Right. Hey, hey. Look at you, you little leprechaun.
I wanted one of those hats when I was a kid with a little propeller on top. I thought, you know, maybe if it went fast.
Oh, that's a good look right there. I like that. Really good look.
I got a hat like that. I actually have that hat. That hat exactly with the horns. It's up here somewhere. I need to find it and wear it. Okay. Thank you for that. That I should have just sent it to you. I should have.
Did you do
it?
Did you drink any drink yesterday? Did you have some St. Patty's beer? Or did you do any of that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, it's not an Italian holiday. I only celebrate Italian.
Well, what is that?
Holiday,
I mean,
well,
that's some BS. It's just
I'm recalcitrant.
Apparently, right? Exactly right. You're supposed to, you know, have a little fun, be festive, no matter what. I mean, like I'm not Italian at all. But if there was an Italian holiday, you'd be like, I'm not going to be like, well, I'm not having any pasta or pizza today. I'm not Italian. I mean, what a jerk you are! You are recalcitrant, recalcitrant jerk, Florio.
That's right. All right. I don't need a made-up day as an excuse to drink. I'll drink whenever I feel like it. Okay. Here we go. Not that it's a made-up day. It's an actual Catholic Church holiday.
No. You've already offended all Irish people. They're all sending hate mail to you now.
St. Patrick. I'm going to hell anyway, Pete. Yeah. St. Patrick was from Italy. So maybe I should celebrate it.
Wow. It's just,
what are you going to do on a Sunday? Are you going to get drunk on a Sunday night and show up for work the next day? No.
Well, no. You got to get a drink, you know, early in the afternoon, right? You know, in our area, there's, of course, a ton of Irish people. I saw a ton of people. You know, it was good. Like in our town, they had a little St. Patty's Day parade. My son was over there, right, running around. They got little food stands around. You see everybody in their green walking around. Like, it's a cool little festive day. I'll give it that.
I want an Italian day. Of course, you know what would happen. It would be a bunch of people going like this and saying gabagool, and it would piss me off because it would go cross the line from celebrating to mocking, and we went down that rabbit hole back in December. Let's move it forward now to April, which will be here before you know it. The draft will be here before you know it.
And the Vikings
are up to something. They're up to something. The news came out of the blue on Friday morning.
They are up to something.
A second first-round pick. They have pick number 23. Now, look, there's two reasons to acquire a first-round pick. You're either going to use it, by that I mean turn in a name on it, or you're going to use it by way of yeah, package it and trade
right,
it.
Right.
And there's no reason to take that pick before it's on the clock. If there's somebody you want at number 23, if they've worked their board and they're like, you know what, at number 23, this is who we want. Then we want this guy, and we know he's going to be there, and we want to have the 23rd pick. You don't make that trade until you're damn sure that guy's going to be there. This isn't a trade for a player. This is a trade for ammunition. They're going to package 11 and 23 and other stuff if they have to, and they're going to move up, or at least they're going to try to. And I can't imagine them going out there and getting that pick without having a damn good idea, Chris, that they're going to be able to move up. I can't imagine that happening.
No,
you don't put that piece in place unless you've gotten indications that one of these teams in the top four or five is willing to trade out of that spot.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I would think there could be a number of teams in that spot that are looking to trade out of that spot and maybe acquire picks, right? I mean, whether they had to move up a spot with the Jets, whether they had to move up to the spot who just took their quarterback at number 8 of the Falcons. Maybe, okay, hey, there's a quarterback there. We want him. But, I mean, with you, 100%. I mean, the first thing I thought of was a little bit of the conversation we had last week, right? You know, one of the things I kind of, that second day coming in, letting it ruminate a little bit about, wow, they let Kirk Cousins, like, you know, like you talked about just last segment. You know, you don't know what you're going to get in the draft. You don't know. They had a guy that was damn good player. I know not a superstar, but he was damn good. And they let him out the door that way. You know, this is a move to me where when this happened, I went, oh, yeah, the pressure's on now. You know, like we talked about, you let a guy that's top 10, top 12 out the door at quarterback, right, for a price tag that was expensive but not crazy in this day and age of where we are in the salary cap. Yeah, everybody's going to be looking at you now. What are you going to be doing at quarterback? What's it going to look like? Is it going to be better? Is Kirk Cousins going to ball out in Atlanta and make you guys look silly? So I feel like they're being aggressive because they feel the pressure of the situation they put themselves in.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
What is the next move then? There's no way they're going to try to trade up to number one. There's no way the Bears are going to trade the number one overall pick to the Vikings. It's just not going to happen.
No. And number two, not either. Number two's not happening either.
Right.
I don't think that's – no, right.
Unless they don't – I don't know what Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, and Cliff Kingsbury are going to ultimately decide to do, but if they would have to decide they don't want Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
To move out of that spot.
Right.
If they want Jaden Daniels, he's your guy. As you said, run to the podium with the card and do that. And I don't know how much the Vikings would have to put on the table to get them to say, we'd rather have all of these other picks and improve our team with more chances to get winning long-term contributors to the franchise. It's kind of like the flip side of what happened with the RG3 trade in 2012, where they moved up to number two. They gave up all those picks, and the Rams used them to remember that Les Snead dominate with Washington's picks. It wrote it on the chalkboard. Like, that became a call to arms for the Rams in the aftermath of that trade. The Patriots at three were the first one I thought of. Now, they may be determined to get a quarterback too, but, you know, old Patriots, Belichick Patriots, more likely to trade out of that spot. Gerard Mayo, Elliott Wolf Patriots, I don't know that they trade out of that spot. I don't know what it takes, but the 49ers, 3 years ago, it was the 12th overall pick, two additional first-rounders, and a third-rounder to go to three. This is 11, another first-rounder this year, not a future first-rounder. There's value in that. Two first-rounders this year, not a first-rounder this year, next year, and the year after. Two first-rounders this year. What else would you have to put on that pile? And first of all, the Patriots would have to be willing to say, we'll take those picks in lieu of taking the third quarterback off the board, presumably the first quarterback after Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, well, to go to 11-3, I would think you'd have to give something like the 49ers gave, right, to go there a few years ago, which is ultimately, yeah, it would be the two picks this year, right, and probably a first rounder next year to get up that high, right? But agreed with you that that's where the conversation opens up. So you look at 3, 4, and 5, and honestly, you look at 6, I and honestly, 7 and 8. They're all, I think, trade possibilities to move up there in that little area. The Titans got their quarterback. They're good there. We know the Falcons got theirs. The Giants now with Daniel Jones and Drew Lock are set. The Cardinals got Kyler Murray. You know, the Patriots, yeah, we'll see it. By all due accounts, seems like they need a quarterback really bad, right? The Cardinals are the team I do look at to go, I could see GM Monty Ossenfort, right? He came from New England. He was there all those years when Belichick always traded down and did that. They got three picks in the top 35. I wouldn't be – he'd be one I'd go – he'd trade down and go, I'll take another first – I'll take three first-rounders this year and then, you know, or five picks in the top 35. I wouldn't be shocked there, but I think around four is where you start to look at, wow, business is open for sure for quarterback trade, I should say.
But here's the reality.
Yeah.
What if they go off the board, quarterback, who's left
at
number four? Who are you trading up for? At some point, you're going to run out of guys. Like, remember when the 49ers did it in 21, we're like, okay, they know Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are one and two. They're trading for the opportunity to have the first quarterback after those two. Who's it going to be? Mac Jones, Justin Fields, or Trey Lance? All of whom, you know...
Yeah,
all of them. I mean, we talked about that last segment. It just didn't work out. But they wanted that opportunity to be the team that picks the first quarterback after the first two that we knew. You know, people want to drag you about Zach Wilson. He was the consensus number two pick. You weren't out on some crazy limb. Everybody had him as the number two pick. It was Lawrence and it was Wilson, period. And then the draft started after that. That's where the Vikings would be if they trade up with the Patriots.
That
Williams,
would, yeah.
Daniels.
Yeah.
And then they go whichever way they want. Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., Drake May. Who knows who they want? Who knows which guy Kevin O'Connell envisions as the guy who would be the best fit for their offense, the guy with the highest ceiling, the guy who could be better for them than Kirk Cousins ever was? I don't know. But they apparently think somebody is, and they got a chance to get him, or they wouldn't have gone out and picked up a second first-round pick.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Or at least it tells you that they feel comfortable with either quarterback four, five, or six, right, that would be available still. And that they're willing, okay, if we got to trade up a little bit to get, you know, a J.J. McCarthy, a Penix, a Bo Nix, whoever it may be that's left over there, Drake May. You know, and again, I my thoughts. I think Drake May is a little bit of a project. But either way, that would tell me they feel comfortable. Because I think, again, like to your point, if you're doing that, you got to be able to realistically go, well, there's a good chance, like you talked about in prior years, but this is even different, it's 1, 2, and 3, the quarterback's off the board. All right, so now do we like 4, 5, and 6, you know, as far as those quarterbacks that are involved in this first-round conversation? And I think with that move there, they're kind of telling you that they do. They do like that, and they're willing to make a move to get whoever's left over there to help their football team.
I just wonder how much their urgency to replace Kirk Cousins is skewing their assessment of the quarterback.
I hear you.
Organizationally,
I hear you.
The pressure about that.
The pressure.
You can't let yourself say, "Ooh, I like that guy. Ooh, I like that guy. Ooh, I like that guy." I just need one of them, and we need to hope that we can turn him into a great player, because we need to justify not paying Kirk Cousins.
There's two thoughts around the league right now, Mike, with Minnesota, right, that I hear. And it's one of, hey, like, good job they got rid of Kirk Cousins, right? He's real good, but he's not great. And, you know, what he asks for money always kind of, you know, hurts the football team that way, which I don't really totally buy, right? I mean, that last contract was not hurting their football team by any, like, I'm not into that one. But there's that thought. And then when I talk to other people, Mike, it's like, I can't believe they just let Kirk Cousins walk out the door for nothing and let him go and didn't make a competitive offer, right? So there's two sides of that, you know, story there. And the NFL views it in certain ways. And I just got to think Kwesi Adofo-Mensah feels the pressure of that. And especially with probably his head coach going, I can't believe we just let go of that guy. The guy that throws for 4,200 yards and, you know, has a good quarterback rating and makes all these plays every year. We just let him go and we don't know who's going to replace him. So I would think he's feeling that for sure.
The book on Kirk Cousins won't be complete until we know how the season ends. Yeah. He can come out and throw for 400 yards a game. He can throw for 5 touchdowns a game. The Falcons can win the NFC South running away. The question is what happens in that first playoff game. That's where all the attention, all the pressure will be, because if he goes one and done, it validates what the Vikings did. Because I feel like, and I've criticized them in the past, is just good enough for the Vikings? Because it just felt like for years, if we're in the conversation, if we make it to the playoffs every other year, every third year, that's good enough. If we're in it every year, that's good enough. That's good enough. This is a move by them to bust that mold, and they feel like they have to get a franchise quarterback. And they're confident that one of the reasons Cousins played so well last year and the year before was because of O'Connell. And they're confident that O'Connell is going to take whatever lump of clay they drop in front of him and sculpt it into a guy that's going to be a franchise quarterback. Maybe he feels like he could do it with all of them. Maybe any of the top quarterbacks, he could do it. We'll find out. That's going to be the great test this year between Minnesota and Atlanta. What does Cousins do? What does O'Connell do with whoever they draft, and how quickly do they get him ready? For now, it's Sam Darnold. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah declined to call him a bridge quarterback when they met with reporters on Thursday. If they move up and draft a quarterback, Sam Darnold is clearly a bridge quarterback, and it might be a pretty short bridge to the next guy taking over. All right, we got to take a break. Aaron Donald retires from the National Football League, and the rest of the NFC West is very happy about it. We'll break down that news that came out of the blue on Friday when PFT Live continues right after this.
This is your time. Aaron Donald wanted that ring. The football gods only do this right. They're going to give Aaron Donald a chance to end this game, to win a ring, to cement his legacy. Can he do it?
Rams creeping. They rush forward. Throw to throw forward. He's hit. He flings it away on fourth down. Aaron Donald got there.
Yes! I knew it. I knew he would make a play.
Donald takes his helmet off in celebration. He signals to his ring finger on his left hand.
Aaron, hey, come here. Hey, come here. Hey, I knew.
The greatest of all time on defense.
Aaron Donald getting it done for the Rams in Super Bowl 56. We were there when he dropped the hammer on the Bengals offense and kept them from doing anything. And on that play, Jamar Chase was wide open because Jalen Ramsey had fallen down. That would have been something if he would have had time. Joe Burrow would have had time to throw it. So, and Aaron Donald, as we said at the time, should have been the MVP of that game. Still believe it to this day. So all due respect to Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald should have been the MVP of that game. We play that because, Chris, as we found out on Friday late morning, I'm at the grocery store. Boom. Here's the text from the PFT writer's thread. Aaron Donald retires. Done. And at the end of the season, Sean McVay said, we'll have those conversations at the appropriate time. And, of course, that caused everyone to say when we wrote that story, he's coming back. He's already said he's coming back. Aaron Donald's not retiring. You're full of shit. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry, Nelson. And now Aaron Donald retires. However, I don't believe that it's 100% done.
No, I'm not crazy. You're not
why.
Sure? No.
I have evidence. I have evidence on which to base my supposition, counselor, if I may.
Yeah.
2 years ago, when he was trying to get his current contract, because he had 3 years left under contract with the Rams after winning the Super Bowl, he wanted those 3 years to be ripped up and replaced. He didn't want an extension. He didn't want, you know, extra year. He wanted it ripped up and replaced with a new deal, and they resisted. And eventually, they wrote up a retirement letter and sent it to the Rams. Not that that means anything. You don't have to, because it was a letter to the commissioner that they were going to send to the Rams. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to file retirement papers anymore. You just retire. You just say you're done. But it was part of this effort to get the Rams to wake up. So when they get the paperwork from Aaron Donald that will be submitted to the league office that he's retiring, that rattled things enough in LA where they gave him 3 years, $95 million. So he's already used this before, and maybe this is just a different way to use it, to either get the Rams or someone else to pay him more than the $30 million he's due to make this year. Because that's the bottom line. It was a three-year, $95 million deal. It was structured in a way that he could retire after 2 years and owe the Rams nothing. He got $65 million for two. He's due to make $30 million this year. And I think he needs to look at the situation and say, okay, for $30 million, do I really want to do this? For another $30 million, do I want to put my body through this? Is it fair to me? Look at where the market is. Look at where the salary cap is. If they offer me more, I'll do it. If they don't, I won't. That was my first thought when I saw that Aaron Donald retired, because this deal was set up for him to make some sort of a play after 2 years.
Yeah, I'm not joining you in your conspiracy theories this time. Sorry.
It's not a conspiracy.
No.
It's not a conspiracy. It's one person.
I know.
It's not a don't call it a conspiracy theory, Howie.
Right.
It's one person using leverage to try to get more.
That's
when
your
he believes
conspiracy
he's due
theory.
To get
Thank you.
More.
That's your
it's
conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy.
Theory. And everybody's
it's one,
behind
it's
him retiring,
theory.
And it's your theory. It's it's your theory, right? Okay. And you're famous for conspiracies, and we're going to blame you for that.
I think if somebody offered him $35 or $40 million a year, he'd come back.
I don't think so.
I think you would.
This is done.
I think somewhere between
this
35
goes
and
40,
he'd come back.
When I was swimming with him in the ocean, and I wish I would have took him more serious and pushed back, because I think,
more
as
seriously.
I've told you, I was swimming with him, and I was like, you know, my man Mike Florio thinks you're definitely going to leave the Rams and end your career in Pittsburgh, and I wish I would have – you know, maybe asked a follow-up, but he was like, no, I'm definitely going to retire a Ram. That's what he said to me. I guarantee it, right? And I should have been like, wait, so are you saying like you might – I wish I would have said all these things, right? But that's what he told me the last time, let alone what they've said behind him and all that. Like, listen, I hear what you're saying. That thought went through my head for a second too. I know what you did. But then I think all the stuff we saw after that, right, that leads me to believe that this is real. And he's at a point in his career and life where, you know, he's had enough. And he just can't find the drive to be the psycho that he feels like he needs to be to continue to prepare and put himself in the best position to play.
And remember, he was already thinking about it going into Super Bowl 56. There was chatter he would retire after that game.
Yeah.
And again, he did. He sent them the letter. It was all about getting what he thought was a more fair contract, better in line with what his skills and abilities would justify. He's held out in the past. He stayed away from offseason programs. He skipped all of training camp to get his second contract in the NFL. This is a guy who is willing to make a power play to get what he deserves. And my point is, if someone would offer him 40, somewhere between 35 and 40, and here's how it works, Chris. If I'm another team and I'm interested in Aaron Donald, if I have any interest, and I've seen this that happens on Friday, I find a way to send overtures, even though it would be tampering. This is the kind, if you're discreet about it, if the player doesn't have a press conference and tell the world about it, you can get away with it. If you want to find out, back channel, contact the agent. Hey, is he really done, or is this like, you know, he wants, like, because we'll pay him 40. He wants to come play. If we can work this out, we'll pay him 40 for a year. He could be the missing piece for. And if they don't, then fine. I'm retired. Like maybe in his mind, I'm just not playing for 30 million. And if somebody wants to offer me more than that, we'll cross that bridge.
His
not part of a
deal was
plan.
Groundbreaking. I mean, it was way ahead of the market, right? I'd have a hard time thinking that we're just passing it this year.
But it's not anymore.
He signed it. Well, it's 3 right. years later. That's how great it was. I mean, that's how great the contract was. All right. Well, either way, it's a ton. And, Mike, Aaron Donald's at a point where I don't think he has to go through these charades anymore. He could have just been like, I want more money. And everyone's like, damn, it's Aaron Donald. He wants more money. We gotta do that. So that's where I do think it's done. We'll see. But either way.
Or look,
what
he knows what a pain in the ass it was last time to get more money. I mean, he did it 2 years ago as the guy who should have been the Super Bowl MVP, clearly the best defensive player in football at the time. And it took months for him to get the 3 years, $95 million out of the Rams. And he eventually had to threaten to retire to get it. My point is, we're never going to have somebody who's going to flat out say it. I mean, hell, it was just a few weeks ago that Kyle Pitts was denying that he'd talked to Kirk Cousins. people say things other than what they believe all the time. It doesn't make it a conspiracy theory. That's what pisses me off when that gets thrown around.
But you're going a little on conspiracy
here.
You're going a little on. No, you're just going on your side.
No.
Right now. It's all your side. He's given us all the facts we need, along with the organization and all the players. You're just going with hearsay. Yes.
I'm looking at circumstantial evidence. Last time around, he retired to get his contract. This time around, he goes straight to retirement. He goes straight to checkmate with the Rams. If they want him to come back, they got to dig some money up and get him to come back. If somebody else wants him, all you got to do is make the phone call and see what it would take to get him. And in his mind, and this is the best way to negotiate. You know, the best deals I've ever gotten on a car is when I decided I don't want the damn thing anymore. Oh, then all of a sudden they come to my number. It's like, but I don't want it anymore. But they're coming to my number. So I guess I'll buy it now, but I have to get myself out of the mindset of I don't want it anymore. And so for him, I don't want it anymore. Well, wait, we'll pay you $40 million. Well, maybe I do. So I'm not saying he goes into it deliberately hoping and planning and intending to come back and take the best offer that's out there. He's done. He's done. My point is, I think that that door isn't completely closed if somebody wants to give him another grab.
Oh, gosh. You've never had a door closed ever. You're going to be talking about Brady this year. He might come back. He might come back. He's going
to
see them on the field, and he's going to go, I could do that better. I think I might have to come back.
I know you're having some fun. but let's be realistic.
Yeah.
We've seen this movie before.
Yeah,
I
know.
Think it's ridiculous.
I've seen this movie before.
This guy gets offered $40 million.
Yeah, he ain't coming back. I'll bet you whatever you want, he ain't coming back. All right, and I bet you nobody offers him $40 either. It's not about that. Either way, with you and your conspiracy theories here, let's pay homage and tell everybody how awesome he is.
Shove those right up your ass.
All right, good.
He's awesome. He's a
first ballot Hall of Famer. Let's give him some praise and stop talking about your theories. All right. The guy's awesome. First ballot Hall of Famer, right? We definitely put him
somebody
there.
Somebody did call him the best defensive player of all time. I mean, I'm not ready to go that far. I'm not ready to put him past LT. There were some pretty damn good defensive players of yesteryear. He was the best one in this NFL. He was disruptive. He was dominant. They couldn't run a walkthrough in L.A. with him around.
Right.
He blew up everything.
He did. He was an F the play up guy, even added to the great stats. It was a double whammy, right, Mike? I mean, that's what he was.
He was so good that he could get away with swinging a helmet during practice.
And bash somebody in the head.
And not get in trouble for it. Yeah, right. And not get in trouble for
seriously,
it.
Seriously, that's when you know you're in the upper room of the Hall of Fame, the Deion Sanders room, when you can bash somebody in the head with a helmet and still be okay. But, yeah, I mean, you know, again.
Get a talking to.
Greatest.
Please don't do that again.
Greatest defensive player of all time. Listen, that's certainly debatable. In the conversation, I don't think there's any doubt, right? Him, Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor, Ray Lewis. All right, J.J. Watt, right? It's that type of guy for sure, where you don't even think twice when it's going to be unanimous, you know, first-year Hall of Famer, special football player, and a guy that, you know, it is an awesome guy for off the field, too, a guy you want to be around, a guy that's always smiling, and, you know, he played the game the right way for the most part, too.
Not always.
On the field, he wasn't supposed to smile and always be nice. He was a psycho in a good way.
There's some button that you press on him that you don't want to press on Aaron Donald. But you're right. We've seen him before. We've talked to him before. Great guy. Great player.
Yep.
Upper room of the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I saw somebody point out. Pete said we got to go to break, but I'm going to say this. Somebody pointed out that his presentation will be very short. That's how they all should be. That should be the bar. I know it's too late for that, but the only people who get in the Hall of Fame, I think, should be the ones where you don't even have to argue about it. That's the true Hall of Fame. That's the upper room, the ones where you don't even have to have a presentation and a debate. Everybody knows that this is one of the all-time greats. That's what Aaron Donald is, whether he comes back or not. We'll see. I'll be watching. You know what? If it happens, you're never going to hear the end of it.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. More PFD Live right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
I really wanted to honestly be with the Jags, but, you know, there was a lot of things that I wasn't, you know, wasn't working out for me, and then I think the Titans had that other side for me, so I chose the Titans, and obviously the money was pretty good. I'm a grown man. I like to be comfortable. I like to, you know, some of the things that, you know, you see on the internet or the games, you got to hear it from me. Let me explain to you why I dropped that pass, why it looks like this. Yeah, just a little uncomfortable at times, and but, you know, this team showed me they want me here for a while, and they told me already they're going to treat me like a grown man. So I just feel, you know, I'm gonna be able to, you know, be a grown man here.
Calvin Ridley on his decision to leave the Jaguars for the Titans. There was that trade term that would have upgraded the compensation if the Jaguars had re-signed him before the start of the league year. They didn't. They were waiting, and then the Titans swooped in. I don't want to spend a lot of time trying to read between the lines of what he was saying, but obviously he was coming off of the suspension for violating the league's gambling policy, and maybe the Jaguars tried a little too hard to protect him when there's a point where you just got to let him be himself. He's a grown man. He can do interview requests. He can talk to people. You don't have to put him in a shell just because he had that year away from football. If somebody asks him about it, he talks about it. He's talked about it. It's over. It's done. Let's talk about how I'm playing now. And he played pretty damn well for the Jaguars last year, and I'm sure they're upset to lose him.
Yeah, I would think they are. And I would think it would only get better. I mean, as it being his first year back there, right? I mean, he's just kind of getting his sea legs underneath him here. This is a bona fide number one wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, that's what the Falcons thought of him before all of this. And, you know, of course, the gambling stuff really derailed his career to a degree. But he's back on solid ground here, right? And yeah, I mean, again, I don't know any of that inside info either. But obviously he feels like, yeah, they were maybe too protective of him, or thought he was maybe a little too emotional after some games and they didn't want him to talk. Either way, the year was inconsistent, as we know. You know, it would be a good game, and then it would be like, hey, where'd he go for a game or two? Then it would be another big game. He did have the drops and all that, but you see the physical ability. And then I think the ultimate thing is just kind of what we hit on last week. From by all due accounts, I mean, Tennessee's offer, they knew they needed a receiver, right? And they kind of blew everybody else out of the water. I think that Tennessee offered him probably $2 to $3 million more per year than all the other teams did. So I think that made his decision, you know, ultimately pretty easy when it came down to it.
Well, that's absolutely right. And they saw the value there, and they knew that it was going to disrupt the Jaguars' plans.
Right.
Kind of like what I thought somebody would do with Chris Jones. Like,
yeah.
Not that I was rooting for it, but it's like, what happened to the days when you see a great player on arrival and it makes you better? It takes a chunk out of their plans. It's a win-win. It's a double whammy. It's not like grabbing a guy from a team in the other conference. You're grabbing a guy from a team in your own backyard, and you're screwing up what they had planned to do. And they had this specific plan, and Ridley admitted it. They were waiting until after the start of the league year to sign him,
amazing?
So they wouldn't have to give up more to the Falcons.
Right.
And it blew up in their faces.
Yeah.
Because he decided, I'm going to take more money from the Titans. And it was a hell of an opportunity for Tennessee to come in and take him away. And they still need to have that guy after A.J. Brown. Treylon Burks hasn't gotten it done. So now Will Levis has a target in Calvin Ridley that can help improve.
Got DeAndre Hopkins still, too,
they
right?
That team.
Yep. So that should be okay.
Is he still under contract?
I think he's got one more year.
Did we figure that out?
I believe he's one more year, if I remember correctly. I did look at it last week, and I think Pete will back me up if he'll get to it at some point. But, yeah, I think they still got him. So it's not a bad duo to have with Hopkins on one side and Calvin Ridley on the other.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, the Bills have Stephon Diggs on one side and nobody on the other. Will they still have Stephon Diggs for much longer? We'll discuss that next year on PFT Live.
Dun, dun, dun.
Here, there they are at the St. John's UConn game in the Big East tournament. Two Phillips and a Christopher. Phil on the left, Philip in the middle, and Christopher on the right. On the big board. Hey, if I'm Philip, I'm saying, why isn't my name up here too, baby?
Right?
I'm a Sims.
I didn't know whose was on
I'm
there.
I'm Philip Sims.
You try not to be on the screen and, like, look at yourself up on the screen. I thought they were just putting my dad on there, really. I thought maybe, okay, they might show me or whatever. But come on, it's New York. It's Big Phil. All right, so, but it was a lot of fun. And, you know, Little Phil had a lot of fun, too. You see him there in the middle. He's got his 49ers hoodie on. But, you know, Friday night at Madison Square Garden, Big East Final Four, right? Right here is one of my pictures. This was the seats we had, watching Rick Pitino on the other side, you know, watching Danny Hurley, the coach of UConn, who grew up in New Jersey. His dad was a high school legend, Bobby Hurley, one of the greatest basketball high school coaches in the history of the country, certainly in New Jersey. Right, it's a fun night, Mike. It's a great crowd, the college atmosphere. So one of my favorite things. So maybe one day, when you move up here, that'll be something we could do together, because it is. It's a great night, little doubleheader, college games move quick, right? It's a good time.
When West Virginia returns to the Big East, I'll do it.
Okay.
I loved it when West Virginia was in the Big East.
Yeah.
I remember the year that West Virginia won that tournament. It's a big deal.
It is.
It's Madison Square Garden.
Exactly.
It's the Big East.
Right.
I mean, it's like it's
in basketball, that's the SEC corner. You know, they're the SEC of basketball,
yeah.
Right? They're pretty prestigious college basketball programs there.
When that conference was first formed in the early 80s and ESPN was migrating away from Australian rules football and tractor pulls, like one of the first real contracts ESPN got. When, like, we're all, like, I remember I'm, like, rooting for ESPN. Like, it's great. There's this all-sports channel. Now let's get some sports on it. Big East basketball was one of the first things. And I remember watching games with my dad on Monday nights. Patrick Ewan wearing that T-shirt under his jersey when that trend first started. And it was,
right,
like, this big loose T-shirt over his skinny arms. I remember that. That was great back in those days, watching Big East basketball. I wish West Virginia was still in the conference. All right, people are wishing that Stephon Diggs will still be with the Buffalo Bills. And because he's still on the roster now, his salary for 2024 is fully guaranteed at $18.5 million. So they didn't trade him before it became due. They didn't cut him before it became due. And this is all an issue because we get these cryptic tweets from Stephon Diggs from time to time, and sometimes they have meaning to them. He tweeted his way out of Minnesota 4 years ago. Saturday, they traded him. Kirk Cousins signs an extension. And coincidentally or not, Stephon Diggs tweets his way out of Minnesota that same day. So he tweets ready for whatever on Friday, and that gets people's attention. So whatever
it
was, the Bills didn't trade him. The Bills are keeping him for now. And the problem is the cap hit is prohibitive. They would either have to cut him with a post-June 1 designation, which they clearly won't do now, or trade him after June 1. Remember when they traded Julio Jones after June 1? It was all set up for June 1. That's all about managing the cap hit. I will not be completely shocked if there isn't something that bubbles up post-draft about a possible Stephon Diggs trade after June 1. And they'll say, serenity now, everything's fine until then, and then it happens. Just keep an eye on that. We've seen that before.
I'm with you, Mike. I think we got to keep monitoring the situation, right? I don't think it's out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination. I do think Buffalo, if they got an offer, they were like, oh, whoa, okay, you'll do that for Stephon Diggs? Sure. We'll take it. Yeah, it feels like they would make that type of move. But at the same time, I don't think they're just going to give him away or cut him or do anything like that. $18 million for a guy like him of his caliber of player is still a damn good deal for Buffalo, right? And we talk about all the time, they need some special guys at that position there, and he's still pretty damn special. He might not be top five in football, right, but he's still damn good, right? And I think we're seeing, again, there in Buffalo, like Gabe Davis, he got low-end number two wide receiver money. Really, maybe number three wide receiver money. So everybody could, the market was there. Gabe Davis is not viewed as a top end number two. Certainly not a number one. That, I mean, for 2 years, people on TV just kept going, they got Gabe Davis. They got Gabe Davis. Like he was a game changer. Right? So that's where they got one guy, Stephon Diggs there. I've liked what they did. Curtis Samuel, playmaker, speed. He can make some big plays. Mac Hollins, he's got some speed down the field. That's a good combination to go along with Stephon Diggs. But you're right, Micah. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah, look, Stephon Diggs' targets and catches went down as the season unfolded. It felt like once Ken Dorsey was gone and Joe Brady took over, it wasn't showcasing him the way that he had been. He had 73 total receiving yards in two playoff games. It's just a strange time. And I don't think ready for whatever was just some spontaneous
definitely
thing he put
not
out there. He was at least wondering what they were going to do before his
pool. He's hearing.
Yeah.
People are calling, or the Bills are calling other people. He's hearing through the league, his agent, that, you know, the Bills have fielded some phone calls for trading Stephon Diggs. That would what I would think. Again, I don't know that. I'm speculating, but that's where my pasta and meatballs gut would take me there.
Huge cap charge if they trade him before June 1. After June 1, it's manageable. We'll see what happens. All right, we won't see what happens if Aaron Rodgers runs for vice president because, alas, he reportedly will not be Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s choice. The final words for now on Aaron Rodgers' political career when PFT Live continues right after this. New York Jets, recap of our mentions this week. I don't understand. Two guys fighting. And then
now they're loving each other.
Like fans were mad and now they're
what
happy.
What is that? I mean, damn, they were just about to knock each other's heads off. Now they're kissing each other. What the hell? What kind of fighting is this? What are they fighting over? I don't know.
That's alcohol. That's alcohol.
Apparently.
That's St. Patrick's Day. All right. Jets fans happy by the end of the week because Tyron Smith, the former Cowboys tackle, who's been there 13 years, signs a one-year deal. Very heavy on incentives. So heavy on incentives. And, Chris, I caught wind of it on Thursday, and it's one of those where, you know, I don't want to say anything because if he doesn't sign with the Jets, then everybody's going to say you're making shit up, and I should have because I was told – they're offering him something, having on incentives that they never think he's going to take. It's like 6.5, and there's a lot on the back end, and he's never going to take it. And he took it, and they were like, what? He took it? They were stunned that he took it, I'm told, per source. So, great deal for the Jets, $6.5 million, and then if he plays and plays well and the Jets do well, he'll make a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, great deal for the Jets. I mean, great. A guy that still plays at a pretty high level. He's got an injury history, and he's up there in age, so they're protecting themselves that way. But damn, I mean, the Jets, that was a big week what they did. They turned around their offensive line. The issues we talked about, right, whether them not being able to run the ball, not being able to protect Zach Wilson, man, it's hard to think that that stuff's not going to be better for Aaron Rodgers this year. Morgan Moses, Tyrone Smith, John Simpson. You couple that with second-round pick Joe Tippmann last year. They out of Wisconsin. Elijah Vera Tucker has big-time all-pro, Pro Bowl-type ability. If he can just stay healthy, you look at that and go, damn, that offense, now Rodgers has got time. Nathaniel Hackett can draw up things in the dirt, and they can formulate a plan with Rodgers that makes sense. They could be dangerous. We know the rest of the roster is damn good.
And no David Bakhtiari yet, and it's likely he won't be there, even though a lot of football fans would look at it and say, well, that's another Aaron Rodgers former teammate that'll come to town. The Aaron Rodgers friends and former teammates plan is over this year in New York. By the way, they're not making a big deal about it, but no more Aaron Rodgers assistant GM. He can have input, he can have a seat at the table, but he's not going to say who we're going to bring. It's not going to happen. And Bakhtiari, with all these other names on the offensive line, don't look for him to be there. One guy who has been linked to Aaron Rodgers in the past, though, Odell Beckham Jr.,
mm-hmm.
ESPN.com had an item over the weekend to keep an eye on Beckham. He said goodbye to Baltimore. Yeah, they're not going to pay him $16 million again this year, so he's not going back there. He could land with the Jets. There's been that connection in the past. Remember, he was talking to the Jets last year, getting ready to visit the Jets when, boom, the Ravens paid him $15 million guaranteed with an incentive package, and that's what got him to Baltimore.
Yeah, no, I think that Rodgers, Rodgers and Odell have been looking to team up for quite some time. We know the Packers, they inquired about trading for OBJ a few times too. It just didn't work out. But this would make sense. Hey, for a guy like him, you know, be with Rodgers, be the number two with Garrett Wilson. Wow, the team's really good. You know, he could find a niche here, and it would make sense for him as far as OBJ is concerned.
Could be OBJ for Aaron Rodgers, won't be RFK. We'll wrap the show with the final word, as promised, on Aaron Rodgers' political career for now. We'll be right back. Well, it was fun while it lasted, or maybe it wasn't. Aaron Rodgers' name came up last week straight from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as at the top of the list to be his running mate on an independent presidential ticket that is destined to lose. Kennedy reportedly picking Nicole Shanahan, no relation to Kyle, as his VP running mate. Rodgers out. And I don't want to hear Rodgers eventually say, I don't know where this all came from, this is all made up. Kennedy himself put him at the top of the list, and Aaron Rodgers could have gone to X at any point last week and said, I'm not doing it. He was in until he was out. And reportedly, one of the reasons he's out is that big donors got a little bit nervous about Aaron Rodgers being the running mate, and that's why Aaron Rodgers isn't the guy, according to Mediaite.com.
Wow. Well, I mean, I would think of it, hopefully it would be more than that, I mean, why he wouldn't be the guy. Like, he's about to make $50 million from another job, and a team has put a lot of eggs into the Aaron Rodgers basket. That's the number one thing. Yeah, football. He can be a VP or anything else after football. Let's go all in. He got done telling me 2 weeks ago he's going to play three or four more years and all of this, right? The Jets don't need this headache.
Okay. Would he have tried to do both at the same time, or would he have walked away from football this year? What do you think?
He'd probably do both at the same time. I'm guessing. I don't know. I mean, that would be my guess.
For a guy who said at his postseason, end of season press conference, we need to get rid of all distractions, it can only be about winning, he might have done both. Either way, he's only playing football. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
See ya, conspiracy theorist.
Fuel your team with Total Coffee from Staples Business Advantage. Our comprehensive program offers no upfront cost brewers, installation, maintenance, and supplies. Plus, our incredible selection of coffee and beverages, including our new Pick Me Up Provisions brand. We handle everything from finding the best brewer to providing ongoing service, all at no cost with your minimum monthly spend on break room products. Visit staplesadvantage.com/totalcoffee to get started.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.